Well, you're very welcome at the meeting this evening and delighted to see you. I know this time of the year people are on holidays and so forth, so delighted that you're here tonight. And if you're not accustomed to being here, I want you to know that the Christians are delighted that you're here and you're very welcome. And we trust the Lord would bless you for being here. Now, there's a hymn we could sing. It carries on the theme of the one that we've just sung, and it's 340, and it carries on the theme that we don't try to get saved, we trust the person who has already died for us. And it's not try but trust. And this is carried out in 340. When the Saviour said, 'Tis finished, everything was fully done. Done as God himself would have it, Christ the victory fully won. Vain and futile the endeavour to improve or add thereto. God's free grace is thus commended to believe and not to do. All the doing is completed. Now 'tis look, believe and live. None can purchase his salvation, life's a gift that God does give. Grace through righteousness is reigning, not of works, lest man should boast. Man, or you, must take the mercy freely, or eternally be lost. A bit of a word of warning at the last line of that verse. What's nice to sing 340.
When the Saviour said 'tis finished, everything was fully done as God himself would have it, Christ the victory fully won.
Briefly, before we turn to the scriptures. Our Father, we come into thy presence in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thank thee that from the very beginning of our meeting this evening, we have had a fresh reminder of the essential truth of thy word, that salvation is by faith alone. In Christ alone, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. We thank thee for the moment in the experience of very many of us already when we came to understand that we had nothing to offer thee. We came in our need as sinners, empty-handed and really without hope and even without expectation, and we thank thee for what we found when we came in that way, that thou hadst made full provision for us in the person of thy Son, for thou didst send him into the world to be the Saviour of the world. We thank thee that that's who he was when he was sent, and that's what he did when he was here, and that's who he is where he is right now. He's a prince and a Saviour, and he's waiting for sinners to turn to him and find rest and peace and joy in believing. We thank thee for that experience that many of us have already had of coming to know thy Son as our Saviour and knowing our sins forgiven, knowing the debt cleared, and being truly at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We marvel at these things, and we joy in the fact that it can be anyone's experience if they're prepared to come on thy terms. Help us this evening when we turn to the Bible just to consider some of these simple but likewise profound truths that are found in it concerning our need as sinners, our helplessness as sinners, but concerning the fullness and the completeness of what thou hast provided for us in thy Son who died for our sins upon the cross. Be with us, we ask, for these minutes. Bless us, we pray, in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Brother John has some announcements before we turn to the Scriptures.
Well, first of all, again, I want just to make everyone welcome. We are always glad to see each one who comes to the hall, especially in the summertime when our numbers are smaller. And it's a great delight to see some of our young friends back again with us this evening and let you know we're glad to see you and you're very welcome. And if you're here in the hall for the first time, again, you're very welcome. We give you a double welcome and trust you'll be back with us. And then there's those who are listening online, and we thank you for taking time to join with us here, and we trust that the preaching of the gospel will be a blessing to your soul this evening. Now, we also make our speaker very welcome, Brother Malcolm Beatty, who has come to us from Bloomfield Assembly, and he will speak to us the gospel this evening. He's no stranger to us. Now, one or two announcements. Thursday evening, we'll have a prayer meeting commencing at 8 o'clock in the hall. Next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, prayer meeting at 6:30, gospel meeting again at 7, and the speaker will be one of our own. Brian Wilkinson will be the speaker. And then I would take it, Malcolm, if I just mention that you have some meetings in the tent over at Dixon Park during the week for boys and girls, and that would be of interest to them and to some who are with us here tonight. We trust those meetings will be good and for God's glory. Now, so we announce these meetings, and the will of the Lord is a warm invitation to all who come, and we trust that God will bless you, and we leave the meeting now in the hand of our Brother Malcolm.
Thank you for the welcome, and it's good to be here. I want to read three extracts from the New Testament. Some are familiar to most, if not everybody, and one is maybe just that little bit less well known. I'm going to read them in the order in which I'm going to speak about them. And the first is found in Hebrews and chapter 4, and it's verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. And that helps us to navigate to the part in the New Testament where we're going to find these particular words. Hebrews 4 and verse 13. I think this is one of the most searching verses in the New Testament, indeed, in our whole Bible. And it says this: neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I'm going to read that again. The Word of God says, neither is there any creature or any being or any person that is not manifest, not hidden in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now the second verse is a very familiar one. It's John chapter 3 and verse 16. I know the boys and girls could recite this for us. If we're in a children's meeting, I'd be asking for hands to be put up, and I'm sure the boys and girls would put their hands up and they could recite for us John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And there's a final verse, please, in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans chapter 10, rather, and verse 11. Romans 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference because between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The God who sees everything, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. The God who loves everyone, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." The God who saves anyone, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Those are my 3 points. I hope you remember the verses. I hope you remember the fundamental truths that we're dealing with, because the Bible reveals to us the true character of God. We're not left to our imaginations to allow us to reach an understanding what God is like. We don't need to go to the internet or to Facebook or whatever and read the words of people and in their vain imaginations that created all kinds of theories about the character of God. We don't need to do that. We just turn to the Bible. And here we have at least 3 aspects of the character of God. First of all, the God who sees everything. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The God who loves everyone. "For God so loved the world." What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He do it? "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is good, you know. Don't you let anybody deceive you, or don't you let anybody suggest to you that God is anything other than caring and gracious and loving and slow to anger and full of mercy. We can't doubt it when we read the Word. Don't rely on what your head tells you. Don't rely on what your heart tells you. Don't rely on what other people tell you. Read the Word. God who loves everyone. And then the last verse we're going to consider this evening, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. The God who will save anyone. And let's develop those 3 thoughts for the moments that we have here together this evening. And I will keep to the time as has been announced. The God who sees everything. I was a bit shocked today because I was thinking it must be 60 years ago, and then I realized how old I am. As a boy in Portadown, growing up in the Cork Crane estate, I knew the Bible. I'd been taught it from I was a child. I went to Sunday school and so forth. And I remember hearing recordings of me saying my nighttime prayers maybe when I was 4 or 5. Not that I recall that, or not that I did that intelligently. But I very well remember at about the age of 7 or 8 when I did something that I shouldn't have done, and that moment I realized, God sees me. That was 8. It was 8 when that happened. I can remember it vividly. I think I took some a pastry out of the cupboard, and I thought it was fresh cream, and it was that sort of cream. It was a bit thick, and it wasn't very nice, and I sort of hit it, and then I thought, God saw that. And that's a principle that we could all do well with remembering and recognizing this evening. That's the force of this verse that we've been reading in Hebrews chapter 4. And we're introduced, when we listen to the words of the writer, he says, neither is there any individual that is not manifest, or put it a better way, neither is there any individual that is hidden in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I find that a shocking statement, a deeply challenging statement. Even more so, in that it's written principally to believers, but the principle carries. And we are reminded here that we are but creatures who live and work and die under the eye of an all-powerful, all-seeing, ever-present God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I discover 2 startling things here. That God sees everything. And there's a moment of reckoning ahead. God sees everything. And there's a moment when we have to give an account to the one who has seen it all. I wonder, do you feel the weight of that? I have to confess, I don't think I do. It ought to solemnize us. It ought to put the brakes on. It ought to make us aware that we're accountable to the one in whom we live and move and have our being, said Paul to the men there in the city of Athens, recorded for us in Acts chapter 17. We're accountable to him. And he's a perfect record of everything. Over in the end of the book of your Bible, you read about the books being opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. I want to ask you this evening, how comfortable are you with that moment of reckoning with God? Are you ready for that? Have you made the preparation to meet him? Nothing's hidden. Everything is open. Psalm 139, I'll not take time to turn your attention to it, but if you read Psalm 139 verses 1 to 4, you discover four things. God sees what I do. He knows my downsitting and my uprising. He knows what I think. He sees where I go. He hears what I say. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him. That would be bad enough. But the verse continues, with whom we have to do. Now let me just pause there. I want to ask you this. Answer it in your own heart. Answer it honestly. Are you comfortable with the thought of meeting God just at this moment? Are you ready for that? Have you made the preparation for it? Or does the thought give you a great deal of concern? Because it's going to happen. We live in a world where people get away with crimes, heinous crimes, and they're never caught. But there's a moment of reckoning for them. A moment of account. We could have read in Romans chapter, in the book of Romans, that it says then, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The God who sees everything. I'm glad to tell you that the God who sees everything is a God who loves everyone. That's the marvel of this book. That's the marvel of the gospel. That the God who is deeply angered by our behavior and our conduct and who sees it all in all its crudeness and all its, in every detail of our lives, is still the God who loves us, for God so loved the world. I can't explain that, but it's in the book and there's no doubt about it. God so loved the world, the God who loves everyone. And it's all the more staggering when you think about what he knows about us. And it's even more staggering when you think about the billions of lives that have lived and are living now and will still live. And every life is full of sin. And it makes God, it brings God great displeasure. But God is a God of grace and a God of love, and he looks down in pity upon us. And he knows we're marred by sin. And he wants to take us out of it. And he wants to clear the debt of sin that we owe him. And loves us. He couldn't doubt his love. Here it is, John 3:16, the God who loves everyone. What did he do? Oh, what did he do? He's seen it all. He's measured it all. He's recorded it all. But he loves us all. God so loved the world. And he acted. Didn't act in judgment. He will, but he hasn't acted yet. Well, in fact, he did act in judgment. But that judgment fell upon his son upon the cross. For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? To provide salvation for you and me. To provide a means that our guilt may be cleared, our sins may be cleansed, that we may be, have the record expunged, the records in heaven deleted. How do we get that? That whosoever John 3:16 we're in now, the God who loves everyone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh my, what a statement. The God with whom we have to do desires that we won't perish for the sins of our lives, but rather have everlasting life. God loves everyone. He's made provision for everyone. God is good. God is holy. God has seen it all. And he's recorded it all. But there's that moment, you see, when in his mercy, he took it all and he put it on his Son when his Son was on the cross. And he poured out his judgment against all that sin on his Son on the cross. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. There's a verse on the wall there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. God is good. God has done marvelous things for us. You see, the God who sees everything is the God who loves everyone. Better than that, he's a God who saves anyone. What's it say in Romans chapter 10 when we read it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to be right with God? Would you? Would you like to have that debt of sin that God has an intricate detail record of? Would you like it deleted and expunged and removed and cleansed, or whatever word you want to put upon it? Would you like the debt cleared? Would you like the burden removed? Here's the answer. God will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when it says call it whosoever, that means anyone, of course. So call. Now, don't get me wrong now, because I don't want to speak disrespectfully of folks, but that doesn't put your hand up at the end of a meeting and say, I give my heart to the Lord. And I'm not saying that cruelly. I'm saying it because that's wrong. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is a cry from the heart that says, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And the only source of it is in God. And I'm calling out for forgiveness and salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon his name, let's just nearly finish here now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon his name, you're calling upon him in all the fullness of who he is and all that he has done for you upon the cross. You're calling upon him because he's the Savior. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And whosoever shall put their confidence in him shall be saved. And whenever you call, you're coming in your need. No holds barred. That's not the right term. You're coming with empty hands. You're coming acknowledging that God knows me through and through. He's seen it all. He knows it all. I'm guilty. I'm not fit to be in heaven. The God who sees everything is the God who loves everyone. And he gave his Son to die for me. I want his Son as my Savior. I'm going to call. I want that. I can tell you, if you want it, you can have it. You can have it now. And from your heart there rises into heaven, unbeknownst to anybody in the room, But your voice is heard in prayer in the very presence of God. I'm a sinner. God in heaven, you know all about me. And on the cross the Savior died for me. And I want to be saved. And here's the answer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's like one of the great promises of our Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The God who saves anyone, you can be included. And it's a wonderful thing to be saved. As a teenager in Dundonald, one Sunday night after a gospel meeting, I'd been trying to get these things all sorted in my head, and I couldn't get any peace at all. And I remember it came to me just like this. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, what did he do? He took the punishment for my sins. If he's taken the punishment for my sins, there's no punishment left for me. He's done it all. And I received him. I trusted him in that moment. You see, it's a real thing to know that your sins are gone. Mine are gone. Didn't deserve it. I didn't pay for it. And I haven't, by somehow or another adding to the deal, lived a life in order to justify what God did. No. But I know that my sins have been forgiven because there was a moment in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ. You could have that experience tonight if you haven't already. You could be right and ready to meet God. How do you get it? By letting your request be heard in heaven. Coming in all your need as a sinner. And claiming the promise of the word of God. Whosoever, that's me. So call upon the name of the Lord. I need Christ. I want him now. I'm going to believe in him. And if you do that, you will be saved. Now, thank you very much for your attention. I've got a minute or two over the time. We appreciate your presence this evening. Remember this. The God who knows everything. The God who loves everyone. And the God who saves anyone. You can be included if you're prepared to trust the Lord Jesus tonight. Now shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thee and thank thee for the provision made for sinners upon the cross at Calvary by thy Son. And we thank thee that many of us here tonight and perhaps looking on have had the experience of coming to know him as our Savior. We thank thee for the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins that we enjoy. We acknowledge before thee we didn't deserve it and we paid nothing for it, but we do possess it and we thank thee for that. We pray that others, perhaps some in the hall tonight, others looking on, that they may be challenged by the truth of thy word and understand their accountability to thee and their need to be forgiveness and experience forgiveness in their lives. And may they be prepared tonight to call upon the name of the Lord and trust the Savior and be saved. We commit these matters to thee and ourselves to thee as we leave the building and thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for the Savior in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing two verses of a hymn, just one verse of a hymn, and it'll allow me to get to the door. 336. 336. The first verse says, "What must I do?" has often been asked, eternal life to gain. And I want to sustain verse 3. Speaking of God, it says, "He laid on him the sinner's sins when came the appointed day, and by that blood on Calvary shed, took all my sins away. Verse 4, such was the sacrifice he made, the law could ask no more, for not a mite was left unpaid when he my judgment bore. I think we'll sing verse 4, reminds us of the value of the death of Christ. Verse 4 in the chorus of 336, and we'll just remain seated, and then our meeting is over. Thank you.
Such was the sacrifice.